Now it is time to turn the tables. Last summer, Brent Ragsdale from KKFI Kansas City Community Radio asked me to interview for his program. Brent is a mechanical engineer with interests in the energy transition. He is also co-host of the program Eco Radio KC. Here is our discussion about radio, the environment, and what we try to do for both. Here we go.
This is Eco Radio on 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Brent Ragsdale. Tonight's show is all about carbon dioxide removal from the atmosphere, both the whys and the hows, and I'm excited to have two really good guests. On the phone with me tonight from British Columbia is Alex Smith, host of Radio EcoShock. Alex, welcome to Eco Radio KC.
Thanks very much, Brent. It's great to be down in Kansas.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about Radio EcoShock. I'm a big fan. I've been listening for years, but for some reason, we don't have that on our community radio station here, and so I want you to plug it a little bit.
Well, basically, the plan is to get the voice of scientists directly out to the public about what we are learning, cutting-edge learning about climate change and the risks that we face. I cover other environmental issues, but climate change seems to be the big one that's going to change not just our lives, but our kids' lives and our grandchildren's lives. So I've been doing that for about 14 years. We have over 100 nonprofit stations put this out. There's no advertising or commercials. The whole idea is just to get the word out to people about what we're facing and also what we can do about it.
All right. Well, I can't think of anyone I'd rather interview tonight to help me explain why we've got to remove carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. So I want to keep this at a fairly high level, I guess. I don't want to deconstruct the science all the way back down to, you know, the fact that how greenhouse gases work. We're going to take that as a given. But what I want to start with, I want you to explain to us first this idea of climate sensitivity that you covered in one of your recent shows. Tell us how that works.
Yes, I spoke with Tim Linton, who's a modeling professor, and also Tim Palmer in the UK. And what they're finding, scientists have been trying to figure out, well, what happens if you double the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere from what there was in pre-industrial times before we started burning coal? So say around 1750, 1780, and we know what the carbon levels were then by testing the bubbles in ice. We can measure it. So what they are trying to figure out is what would happen if you double it, and they call that climate sensitivity. The general feeling up until a few years ago, and this is based on a lot of cutting-edge science, is that we would warm about 3 degrees Celsius, so that's quite a bit more in Fahrenheit. And that's the global average, so it would be even warmer on land. Well, now new research and the latest models are showing actually it could go up to 5 degrees Celsius, global average mean warming. And that could mean warming perhaps up to 9 degrees Fahrenheit right there in Kansas, so that summers would be longer and very much hotter. Now, the way that they've had to work this out using models, it's not perfect. They're always having to change it a little bit, but they're getting better and better as you use supercomputing power, and they can compare it by running them backwards and say, well, would it have predicted the last ice age? And now they've got it so that it does. So we have more confidence in this, and what it means is we're headed towards a kind of hell for our kids and our grandkids if we just let this run. We do have to act. It's a national crisis, an emergency, really.
Yeah, more than national, international. So taking stock of where we are, you mentioned that prior to us starting to burn fossil fuels and put the CO2 waste into the atmosphere, the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere was around, you said, 280 parts per million. And now I believe we're approaching 415 parts per million.
Slightly over that, yeah.
Slightly over that, yeah. So if you talk about the doubling, so if you take 280 parts per million and double that, that's 560. But halfway to that 560 would be 420. So we're really approaching the halfway mark to that kind of arbitrary thing that science uses that they call climate sensitivity. So a big question that you raised in your remarks from this latest Radio EcoShock episode was nobody really knows how long it's going to take us to get to that steady state higher temperature. We've got these models that kind of predict what we think it will be, but there are various ranges for, you know, how long it's going to take. It may be centuries. So is that a true statement?
Well, I wouldn't say centuries. I think it will likely happen within this century if we keep going vaguely at the rate we're at now. Now, a lot of things could change. We could have a collapse of industrial civilization, so we emit a lot less CO2. We could have new technology comes out that could suck it out of the air. We could have a big change of heart in society where we decide, well, we're just going to fly less and drive less and burn less carbon. So the human variable is very large. But if you just take the emissions as they've been going from 2015, 2016 up to 2019 and add them up, it looks like the year 2067 or 2070 would be the time when we hit that doubling point, and therefore at least 3 degrees C hotter as a global mean average, and maybe 5 degrees if this new science and new modeling is correct.
Yeah, so if you plot that out, you get a very steep curve in the temperature just happening now. Basically, the CO2 has kind of a slow effect on the temperature of the planet. It takes a long time kind of to catch up and get to a steady state. Is that correct?
That is right. Even if we double it by 2070, that doesn't mean it will be right then and there 3 degrees or 5 degrees C hotter, because the ocean soaks up so much heat, and then it takes a while for the ocean to mix down and release it again. So it could be, well, Tim Palmer thought 200 or 300 years would be a more accurate way to look at when we would reach those very high temperatures. But keep in mind, it's getting hotter all along, and 2020 may very well be the hottest year we've ever experienced. It's roasting right across the South, as you know very well, and it's roasting in Siberia. This is a really hot year, and it's just going to get hotter as we go along. We don't have to wait for the doubling time to experience some terrible things from climate change.
And one prediction that you cited on your show notes was from the esteemed climate scientist Michael Mann, that he predicts that we'll be to a 2-degree warmer world by as soon as 2036. So that kind of brings it home a little bit more. It's not quite as abstract as thinking about 2100.
Well, and parts of the land will reach it long before then. I talked to an Indian scientist who said that in India, for 9 months of the year, they've already exceeded 1.5 degrees C hotter than pre-industrial. And that 1.5 was sort of the last stop for what we would consider a safe climate. They're already surging past that, and other countries are doing so as well. So on land, we're going to pass those records before the whole world does, because remember, the majority of the Earth's surface is ocean. And it, as you know, when you try and boil a pot of water, it takes a while to heat water up, but then it maintains its heat for a long time, so the ocean will then release heat back into the Earth for centuries.
Yes, and those hotter temperatures on land, like in India, have caused already just terrible ramifications socially. I know that there's been a lot more suicide with the farming community in India. We know that climate disruption has increased the stresses in the Middle East and caused a lot of people to try to get to Europe or other places where they might have a better chance at surviving. So there's a lot of ramifications. And your show has done a great job over the years looking at all of the different science and papers around increases in wildfires, biodiversity loss, coral reef destruction from acidifying and heating oceans, a lot of really dire things. One that really stands out in my mind was from, I looked it up, it was from 2017. It was a show called Fatal Heat Warning, and you interviewed a scientist from the University of Hawaii named Camillo Mora, and he was talking about studies of the effects of heat stroke. And as I recall, he was saying that a lot of times in populations, you can see a few years after a big heat event that there's a statistical increase in deaths because it affects us so much. Do you remember that interview?
I do, and that's a fabulous interview. I think his paper was titled 27 Ways Heat Can Kill You, and he found that people hadn't really researched how heat does work, and some of the ways that heat kills And it kills a lot of people. It's the greatest natural hazard cause of death, for example, in Australia. And it's killing Americans by the thousands every year. We have to remember that. But some of the ways that it kills are a little bit reminiscent of COVID-19 because it also can disturb the blood system and the distribution of the blood so that you get blood clotting. There are after effects that can last for years. You can have organ damage from extreme heat. And the same thing is happening with COVID-19. So I think there are parallels.
Yes. So I think we've pretty well established that we can't let this happen. We've got to slow down our emissions. And then I believe we're going to have to figure out ways to not only stabilize the CO2 levels in the atmosphere, but actually bring them back down. And that's what we're going to be talking about later in the show. I have a great guest on from a nonprofit called Carbon 180, Guyana Amador, and we're going to talk about all the ways that we may be able to do that and what it's going to take in terms of funding for research. But I just am really happy that I got to talk to you about this. I've been a big fan of Radio EcoShock. I hope that we can get it on to KKFI in the future. And maybe before I let you go, I want to make sure that we have gotten this point across about the lag, you know, that we've put this CO2 in the atmosphere. It really acts as a thermostat for the planet. In fact, in your show notes, you make that comparison. I tend to try to explain this to people, the lag. It's like you've got a house, you keep bumping up the thermostat, and before it really catches up, your heating system really catches up, you bump it up some more. And that's what we keep doing. And I think we're to the point now that we're going to realize, oh, it's way too hot to live. We've got to figure out a way to bring it down. And so we'll be talking a lot about that in the rest of the show. But any parting thoughts for us here in Kansas City, Alex, before I let you go?
Well, there are just so many ways and things we haven't talked about. One of them is river flooding. Right now in China, there's massive river flooding. Millions of people have had to leave their homes. So there have been hundreds of deaths. A third of Bangladesh is underwater. And while we're all busy with COVID and American news and the president, we forget that these things are happening on the other side of the world, but they're coming to our side of the world. And anybody on the Missouri River and on the Mississippi River knows about river flooding, and we're going to see more of that. We've got all the concerns about crop damage, and any agricultural state is going to be paying attention to that, how hot it can get before our crops just can't grow or we have to switch to different crops. You talked to me about the dry line advancing. Kansas and Missouri are just states that are right open to extreme weather events. We've got the super storms coming up. This is a threat multiplier, and we've got to do something about it. And I'm so pleased that your show is going to take on some of the things that we could do about it. In addition to cutting emissions, we're going to have to grab some of this carbon dioxide out of the air as part of our economy. And that's going to be an exciting new challenge. I hope we can do it.
Yeah, you're bringing up the river. The Missouri River is very topical. We just had three guests on a couple of weeks ago, and we're going to have them on again, you know, talking about what it's going to take to make the rivers more resilient to flooding issues, because it's a fact, it's coming. One exciting thing about our area in terms of solutions is that we do have an abundance of wind power here. We aren't always the most progressive politically in Kansas, but boy, do we have wind. And I think that it's going to take a lot of green energy to power these solutions. So I'm excited about the possibilities of what our area can do in the future.
Well, you may be one of the new energy states for the rest of the country.
Yes, very much so. And we've hardly tapped into solar, and we've got plenty of sunshine, too. So the future is bright in that regard.
It is.
Well, Alex, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much for calling in. I will post this. Our show is put out as a podcast like your show. I usually catch your show at ecoshock.org on Wednesdays. That's when the podcast gets posted because we don't carry it on our radio station. But I know it comes out a few days earlier than that on a lot of radio stations, our sister stations around the country, and a lot of college stations. So thank you very much for what you've done, all the education you've given me, and what you've done to help us solve these problems.
Well, thanks for calling me up, and it's good to talk to the people in KC. That interview of Me, Alex Smith, by Brent Ragsdale, was recorded in July 2020.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org.